This weekend starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
Searching for superstars. I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
Peyton and Megatron have retired. Brady's suspended. Romo is hurt. The start of the 2016 NFL season seems to have a shortage of stars. Is there a new crop to replace them?
You know you should call your cable company for a better rate, but who has the time? Now you can hire someone to do it.
On the tech front, the new apps trying to take business from mapping giants like Google and Apple.
They want a cheap place to stay in New York City. One guy rents out a former taxi that he's dressed up for $39 a night.
One former guest who I spoke with did complain about the smell. She said it, quote, burned her eyes. But it is legal. I checked with the police department to sleep in a car in New York City streets, and it complies with Airbnb policy. So, yeah, it's good to go.
New York Times freelancer Jesse Coburn on a taxi instead of a hotel for a night in New York. He's here later in the hour. Well, September is Blood Cancer Awareness Month, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is reminding everyone that despite progress, much work still needs to be done to find cures and help patients access life-saving treatments. The stats are daunting. Every 3 minutes, the LLS says someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with a blood cancer, and there are no means of preventing or screening for most of them. We're joined now by Aaron Zamet Ruddy, blood cancer survivor, who helps others deal with the disease. Aaron, start with the basics. What are the blood cancers?
Blood cancers include leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and multiple myeloma. I am a survivor of a form of leukemia called chronic myelogenous leukemia. They're all blood cancers. That's sort of what connects these cancers, and they're different from other cancers. And the biggest way that they're different is that you're often diagnosed with full-blown disease. There's no way to prevent these. There's no tests for these diseases. So when you're diagnosed, when I was diagnosed, for example, I had full-blown disease, no prevention. So you really need to educate yourselves on what you're dealing with.
Mm. All right. So take us through, I guess, what happened with you, say how you learned and then what followed after that.
Okay. So I was diagnosed with chronic myelogenous leukemia when I was just 23. And that was about 15 years ago. And it was devastating. I actually had no symptoms, like I mentioned. I just went in for a regular blood test for my annual visit and turned out that I had a very high white blood cell count and pretty quickly found out that it was chronic myelogenous leukemia. We were devastated, but what was crazy is within just days of hearing the words, you have cancer, I found out that I was going to be okay and that I could maintain a normal life. And that's because a targeted therapy, a pill, had just been approved by the FDA 6 months before I was diagnosed.
Wow.
Yeah, and this pill targeted the cancer cells without harming the healthy cells, which meant I didn't have to lose my hair, I didn't have to miss work, I didn't have to spend time in the hospital, I didn't have to get sick just to get well, which is a revolutionary idea in cancer treatment. And so it turned out that I was very lucky. You don't often feel like you're lucky when you're diagnosed with cancer, but I actually was. This drug, I started taking it right away. It worked for me. It put me in remission. And for 15 years, I've been in remission, doing wonderfully. I was able to stop taking the drug 3 different times to have 3 children, things I never thought possible
right
when I was first diagnosed.
Goodness. All right. So take us. Listen, I'm a dad, so I got to ask. I mean, what about the having children part? Were there concerns about, passing it on to them for one, and that they'd be okay with you taking the medicines and all that stuff you must have considered?
Yes, it was. It was definitely, there was a lot of research and thinking and soul searching that went into this. There was no concern about passing on the disease. It was more about could I come off of my medication?
Okay.
Because this is a new treatment. These are novel treatments in cancer, and they haven't been around that long. And I had my first child 9 years ago, so it was even newer then. But I had an incredible team of doctors. I had the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society there for support as well. They helped fund this drug that I take. So I surrounded myself with the best resources, which is what I strongly recommend anyone do. And my husband and I ultimately decided it was worth it, the risk, the small risk, for me. Again, talk to our doctor. And I went off the drug, and my disease did not come back the entire time that I was off my medication. That first time, second time, same thing, third time, same thing. Now we're done. We're not having any more children. but we were really lucky. And now there's a lot of people who are doing this, who are able to have full lives after cancer. And it's really exciting to see what these new drugs and these new targeted therapies are doing for patients.
We're speaking with Erin Zammit Ruddy from Long Island, New York. She's a blood cancer survivor. September is Blood Cancer Awareness Month. What about the threat of cancer returning, Erin?
Yeah, that's definitely a real worry for anyone. Anyone who's ever been diagnosed with cancer will tell you there's never a day goes by that they're not going to think, if they have some weird thing happen, they're not going to immediately think, oh, it's my cancer coming back. But, you know, you have to trust in your doctors and in these drugs, and I'm fortunate enough to work with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and to know that they are out there.
Thanks, Erin. Erin Zammit Ruddy, blood cancer survivor from Long Island, New York. September is Blood Cancer Awareness Month. 12 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. Or 2000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Hey, glad you're with us. Well, if not on opening weekend, then perhaps in week 2 of the NFL season, you might be asking yourself, where are all of my favorite players? Wall Street Journal sports editor Brad Reagan floats the idea that pro football might need a new batch of stars right now. Brad set this up.
This year in particular, we have a large number of suspensions of big players, and then some of the big names also retired early over injury concerns. So, you know, all that comes together, and there's just this large number of superstars who are stepping away. So it's kind of interesting this year to see who's going to fill in and take their place. You know, if you look over history, the NFL hasn't had a particularly hard time doing that, and that's one of the things that's made them the most popular sport in the country. But you know, the injury issue in particular and the suspensions present a new challenge for the NFL, and it's going to be interesting to see how this year plays out.
All right, so a list of guys, as you point out in the story, Brady, obviously over the Deflategate suspension, Tony Romo's hurt again, Marshawn Lynch, Calvin Johnson said, thanks, we're taking our money and leaving. Who does that leave in the wings, perhaps, ready to claim this new mantle of NFL star?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty long list. I mean, the NFL's done a pretty good job, but not all of them are household names yet. I mean, J.J. Watt, the Houston Texans defensive end, is, you know, with Peyton Manning retiring now, kind of the unquestioned face of the league in terms of, like, marketing and commercials and things like that. So his profile will definitely continue to grow. You know, some young quarterbacks like Marcus Mariota and Russell Wilson, who people know, but I think Russell Wilson could become even a bigger star. And then, some running backs like Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys is a guy a lot of people really like, especially with Tony Romo getting hurt, like you said. You know, he's a guy who could be Rookie of the Year and maybe even challenge for the rushing title, and obviously playing for the Cowboys doesn't hurt.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned, too, this is a quarterback league. You mentioned Russell Wilson. Other quarterbacks maybe who might shine?
Well, I mean, obviously Cam Newton. He played last night, didn't have his best game. So, you know, he took him to the Super Bowl last year, and it wouldn't be a big surprise to anybody if he could do that again. Jameis Winston down in Tampa Bay had a pretty good rookie season. He could be interesting. And, you know, we're kind of overlooking some of the veterans who didn't get hurt and are still there. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Eli Manning here in New York. I mean, all those guys are still capable of having MVP seasons for sure.
Yeah. We're speaking with Brad Reagan, a sports editor at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Wanted in 2016, a new crop of NFL stars. The other names that might come up here, Brad, this season.
Well, also last night, you know, in the Thursday night opener, we saw Von Miller of Denver, who's just an incredible defensive end, and he's going to probably do the same this year. David Johnson's a really interesting guy out of Arizona. He's got kind of a bland name, but he's incredibly fast, and he's one of these running backs who we see more of out of the NFL, who, like, they're really more pass catchers than they are traditional runners. So he'll be really interesting. Odell Beckham with the Giants, you know, could have a huge year this year, and I think really could make a leap. I mean, he's a name that people know, and but I think he really could become, you know, one of the handful of the league's top stars this year.
Yeah. What was the comment, too, that you quoted from John Lynch, the analyst, about just things being so up in the air right now?
Yeah, it was interesting talking to him. You know, he's a player himself, played in the league for many years, and he said he's never seen an opening of the season like this with so much uncertainty. You know, the Brady thing, I think, in particular. You know, the Patriots is a team that everybody likes as a possible Super Bowl favorite, but you've got a, you know, veteran quarterback sitting out the first four games, and Peyton Manning takes his team to the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl, and then he immediately retires. So, yeah, he was very upfront. I mean, he just said it could go any number of ways this year, which is a little bit unusual in the NFL, which, you know, has had some dynasties and some teams that, you know, everybody knew coming into the year that they would be there come, you know, late December and January. And this year, you know what Lynch said was he could see any one of seven or eight teams actually winning the Super Bowl, which is, you know, a pretty broad group.
Thanks, Brad. Brad Reagan, sports editor at the Wall Street Journal. 21 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Now, there seems to be a service for everything these days, right? There's even a budding industry of apps and companies willing to take on the mundane financial chores that some people never get around to. The business model for many of these companies relies on the attitude that plenty of Americans have when it comes to tackling financial decisions. They would rather not deal with it. Here's This Weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
You can hire people to paint your house, buy your groceries, and clean your bathroom. Now you can hire people to cancel old subscriptions and negotiate with your cable company. With more on services and apps is Janelle Marte of the Washington Post. Janelle, why are we hiring people to take on our financial chores?
So when you think about it, people are really looking for convenience. There are apps to make a lot of things that we don't like to do, you know, have someone else do it for us. And so this isn't that different from that idea, right? People normally hate calling the cable company. I mean, don't get me wrong, some people love it, right, negotiating. But for most of us, it's this chore. It takes hours of our time. It's something we have to do, you know, when we would rather be playing games, be with our family, eating, or, you know, doing almost anything else. So I think it's natural to see that we are starting to see some companies, some startups who are saying, hey, pay us a fee and we will do this for you, because it really isn't much fun for most people.
What are some of these companies and how do you go about finding them?
So what we're seeing, so there are a couple of companies now that will call your cable company and basically negotiate a better deal for you. And so some of the ones that we're looking at are called bill fixers, bill shark, bill cutters, and their model is pretty similar in that they will, you give them a picture of the bill, and they will then have your account information and can call the companies on your behalf and basically see what they can get for you, right? If you get some savings, well, then you pay a fee. But they say that if the process does not result in any savings, well, then there's no cost to you. So for people, if you can imagine, who are saying, hey, I probably wouldn't call on my own, might as well give it a try. There's not much to lose. But for someone who has negotiated the bill in the past and feels pretty confident that they can do it, has the time to do it on their own, then perhaps they might be better off doing it that way.
Janelle, can you really save money doing this, or are you giving back the savings to these companies?
That is a very good point. So the price tag can be a little steep. The fees can usually add up to one-third or half of the savings that you would see over the course of the next year or two. So think about it. If you're going to save more or less $300 a year after hiring one of these companies, you have to pay a fee of $150, and sometimes you have to pay that fee up front. So you're essentially paying before the savings have even come into your bank account, so to speak. Of course, some of these companies will give you a chance to pay the money over time if you're having difficulty. And if it all works out, you should have more money in your pocket at the end of the day. But just looking at that, the fact that you would be giving up half of what you would save or a third, for some people, it might give you more reason to sort of just suck it up and call on your own. But again, for some others, if they really don't have the time and really love to go through this process, they might just say, hey, that sounds good to me. It's money that I wouldn't have anyway.
All right, Janelle, you want all the money for yourself. How do you do it yourself instead?
Yeah, very good point. So plenty of ways to do this on your own. I got some tips from the pros who said, they basically are upfront, right? Like, if you can do this on your own, you should do it on your own. But here's what they say. It helps to call during business hours because the customer reps are more available and maybe in a better mood, right, than in the evenings when everyone else is calling. It helps to be friendly. You want to be firm, and it helps at times to get a little angry, but if you are friendly and nice and respectful, they're going to be more in the mood and more willing to help you come up with a solution.
Thanks, Janelle Marte from the Washington Post, and this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka. 30 minutes now after the hour. On this weekend, sometimes it feels like there aren't enough hours in the day, even when you're working past the 9 to 5. So if you're still making time-consuming trips to the post office, you need a better way. Use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, get the postage you need the instant you need it. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer and printer. It's quick and easy. You even save money with Stamps.com, too, and get special postage discounts you can't even find at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Get started with Stamps.com today. Within minutes, you'll be printing postage right from your desk. Go to Stamps.com, then click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in the code DEAL. That's Stamps.com. Then enter the code DEAL. Thanks for being with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Coming up this half hour, new mapping services for your smartphone. Where to stay for $39 a night in New York. And what's longer than a transcontinental flight these days? College football games. What gives? We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Here's a story about a company lending a hand to our veterans. Aspen Dental Management, which provides free dental care to veterans who don't have insurance, is now merging that service with a promotional twist, the chance to be its special guest at the upcoming NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Bank of America 500 in Charlotte on October 8th. Veterans can visit smileforyourservice.com to sign up, bringing attention to the fact that many do not receive the dental care they need. More from Army National Guard veteran and Aspen Dental doctor and practice owner, Melissa Thompson. Dr. Thompson, I didn't realize dental care was an issue for vets.
So veterans actually typically do lack good oral health care and access to care because they don't have the benefits. In order to get benefits for these veterans, they have to be 100% disabled or have a service-connected dental condition or something, or a dental condition that affects or a service-oriented medical condition that is affected by their mouth. So typically, in order to qualify for these services by the Veterans Affairs, it's very difficult. So what we do is, for the last couple of years, we've been providing free dental care to veterans. We actually have a Healthy Mouth Mobile, and that's something that goes across the country and stops in different cities and provides dental care to the veterans. And then we also open our doors at Aspen Dental once a year and provide dental care to the veterans, and that's all Aspens throughout the country.
Wow. Very good. What kind of response do you get for that, by the way?
We've actually had a great response in the last couple of years. We've actually been able to provide more than $6.2 million in free dental care.
Holy cow. Very good.
Yes, we've made a lot of difference in these veterans' life, which is our main goal. I mean, we just want to salute and honor our vets. They dedicated so much to us, so we want to give back to them.
I got to be clear on one point, though. You're telling me that these soldiers, for example, who are overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan and where else, get shot at, come home, and don't have automatic free dental coverage?
No, they don't. They have to qualify and, you know, have, again, like I said, they have to be 100% disabled, have a service-connected dental condition, or something that affects their mouth during service.
That's unbelievable. This is slightly off topic, but I know as an Army National Guard veteran, I'll ask you, is anybody working on that? Like, is that a fight that's happening in Congress or anything?
You know what? I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's possible. Hopefully, the Jeez. More we do things like this and other people get out there and people know, it'll be a big push to help these veterans.
Wow. We're speaking with Dr. Melissa Thompson with Aspen Dental. She's an Army National Guard veteran. And we're talking about a program called Smile for Your Service, in which veterans could win a trip to a NASCAR race in Charlotte, along with some other perks. Explain, I guess, what you're hearing from some of these folks when they come through your doors and you're providing this care for them. Is it difficult for them to say, ask for help or admit that they might need help with oral care?
I think most of them are, they're either afraid to come in, whether it's because of a fear of the dentist, but also a fear of the financial responsibility. And they're also, you know, low self-esteem. A lot of them come in and when they leave, after we either fix their teeth or give them dentures, they say, you know, I haven't smiled in, you know, 10, 15 years.
Goodness.
So it's truly, even just giving them the ability to smile is life-changing for them.
Yeah. Do you know kind of which buttons to push when they come in, given that you're a vet yourself?
I mean, I think it's easier a little bit for me because I understand where they're coming from. When I was in the military, we did a lot of exams on people that were being sent overseas. And I think they definitely feel comfortable with me because of that. But I think in general, you know, all the Aspen doctors, all we want to do is help these veterans out. There's no judgment. We just want to give them the care that they deserve and are willing, you know, to do whatever we can for them.
How do folks get more info? One, if they're a vet, or two, if they're a family member or friend of a vet who want to get somebody involved?
So if they're interested in the Healthy Mouth Movement as far as the mobile, they can log on to www.healthymouthmovement.com, and that will tell them where the van is going if it's in an area near them, and also give the day of service date.
Thanks, Melissa. Dr. Melissa Thompson, Army National Guard vet, also with Aspen Dental. How about that? Vets come back from the war and don't have free dental coverage. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. Good story in the San Jose Mercury News about what it calls the navigational arms race shifting into high gear. It mentions the big two, Google Maps and Apple Maps, but also lists some new free map apps trying to challenge those two, like Map Factor, Here We Go, Scout GPS, InRoute, Maps.me, and City Mapper. More from tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal of the Enderle Group, the technology advisory firm. Rob, what do we have?
Well, right now we've got an awful lot of apps coming to market that allow the app to understand better where you are, understand better who you are, and to route you accordingly. So if you like certain kinds of food, they'll point out the kinds of restaurants that are near you that have that kind of food. If you like a more scenic route, they will route you in a more scenic fashion. If you want to get there fast and directly, they will automatically get you fast and directly. They'll take a Waze, for instance, though I'll talk about some of the problems with Waze in a second. But Waze, in its heyday, was the first navigation app that was socially aware, so it would track what people saw. So if somebody ahead of you saw a police officer in a speed trap, it would tell you there was a police officer in a speed trap ahead of you, or an accident or a problem, all reported by users, which made it initially far better than any of the other navigation programs. Of course, we've also seen that Waze does some kind of screwy things, like that poor couple that was in Brazil, and Waze routed them through a neighborhood where there were a lot of gangs, and the family got killed. And I know in my case, I went to Maui and I used Waze, and there's a road in Maui that you got all these warnings, don't drive on it, they'll cancel your insurance, you're taking your life in your hands, and of course, that's the road that Waze routed me on. So I'm less excited about Waze these days. But the idea is that all of these things are becoming much more intelligent. They're becoming much more aware of you, aware of your surroundings, and they're able to get you where you want to go the way you want to get there.
We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal of the Enderle Group, talking about today's mapping technology on smartphones. Wow. All right. So what happened, what is happening to the likes of those standalone devices, as you point out, like the TomTom or the Garmin, the Magellan?
Well, even the navigation systems in cars are kind of becoming redundant. So more and more people are ignoring the navigation systems in their automobiles, and they're using the navigation systems on their phones. And we're seeing that Google and Apple are being much more open to allowing the cars to integrate the navigation systems on the phone through CarPlay and connection solutions like that allow you to use your phone, which can be updated much more readily, rather than using the stuff that's built in the car. We were having a conversation earlier today, kind of being aggravated that most of the car AV systems, they take about 5 years to go through approval, and then they stay in cycle for another 5 to 10 years, which means you could still buy a new car and have a sound system, a navigation system, that has a CD option in it today, even though CDs have been gone for 5 years every place else. So the end result is it allows you to have something far more current, far more integrated, and actually far less expensive because you already own the phone than what we've had before. And as you point out, the standalone devices are for the most part gone. There's still a few in market. They're not sold like they used to be sold. Most of us are now living on our phone. And I don't think we even really missed the standalone TomToms and the rest.
All right. Thanks, Rob. It's tech analyst Rob Enderle. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on this weekend. Hey, glad you're with us. Here's a way to stay in New York City for a fraction of what a hotel might cost you. It may have a great view of Manhattan, but this vacation rental sits in parking spaces in Long Island City, Queens, and has no bathroom. And it has a bit of that old car smell. It's a refurbished former taxi listed on Airbnb by a guy named Jonathan Powley. It's a story from New York Times freelance reporter Jesse Coburn. Jesse, what's the taxi like? Is it legal?
One former guest who I spoke with did complain about the smell. She said it, quote, burned her eyes. But it is legal. I checked with the police department to sleep in a car in New York City streets, and it complies with Airbnb policies. So, yeah, it's good to go.
How about that? All right, so what are the benefits? How is this thing actually sold and marketed, for example, on Airbnb?
Well, I think the primary appeal is the view. Powley parks the taxi in various street parking spots in Long Island City in Queens, so right across from Midtown Manhattan, so it has a fantastic view. The price is also certainly great, you know, at $39 to $49 a night. I think visitors to New York City would be hard-pressed to find cheaper accommodations.
Right.
And I think a lot of people kind of enjoy the adventure of it. As one woman told me, it's fun to say you slept in a cab on purpose anyways.
Is that right? I'm not sure my wife would see it that way. What kind of vehicles are these? Are these those like old Crown Victorias or what?
This one is a 2002 Honda Odyssey, so it's a taxi van. So it's a bit roomier, but still pretty tight. Pauly also has previously listed out a variety of other mobile homes on Airbnb. Last summer, he was renting out 8 different mobile homes, including the taxi on Airbnb at once.
Wow. Bring your own linen? How does that work?
He supplies the linens as well as a number of other bare necessities, including fans, because it apparently gets pretty hot in the taxi. He put in some black curtains, and everything in the taxi is taxi-themed, so he includes little hats with checkered brims that you can wear that say taxi on them, taxi slippers. He puts a yellow tray in the taxi for each new reservation with yellow roses on it and bananas because they're yellow. So there's a real attention to detail in this Airbnb listing.
Wow. We're speaking with Jesse Coburn, freelancer at the New York Times. His piece is called Where to Stay for $39 a Night in New York City in a Yellow Cab. All right, all important question here. What about the bathroom?
That is an important question, and there's no good answers, unfortunately. There is, of course, no bathroom in this yellow cab because it is a yellow cab, but Pauly does provide guests with a list of restaurants and other public facilities where he can use where guests can use the restroom. He also, for emergencies, includes something called a luggable loo, which I think is like a one-time use toilet that, you know, guests can use if they really have to go late at night, but it certainly is, you know, a downside to this Airbnb listing, something that prospective guests should be aware of.
Thanks, Jesse. New York Times freelance reporter Jesse Coburn. How about that? Would you spend the night in a taxi for $39? It's a little bit dolled up, you know, but it was decommissioned. Might have that smell. It's 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Thanks for being with us. We'll finish up with this. College football games on Saturday see you even more endless in comparison to the NFL games these days. For all the flaws of the average NFL game, length is not one of them. NFL games lasted 3 hours and 8 minutes last year, which was the same as it was back in 1999. But the Wall Street Journal says in college, as attention spans are getting shorter, football games are getting longer. The game last week between Florida State and Ole Miss took 4 hours and 4 minutes, as long as a transcontinental flight. That's 16 minutes and 12 seconds of total action. What took so long? One strange truth of this sport is that faster offenses lead to slower games. More first downs, right, in that hurry-up offense result in more clock stoppages, and more touchdowns result in more TV commercials. In other words, the more exciting a team is, the more excruciating its games are. At LSU, they recognize this. It's common at Louisiana State, for example, to hear fans booing the red-capped official. He's the guy who coordinates TV breaks and stops games for several minutes at a time. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.